You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work for the Archdiocese of Chicago in the Young Adult Ministry Office. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and I am delighted to be with you this morning, along with my co-host, the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Very good, thank you.
Glorious, gorgeous spring day outside today. Yes.
No clouds.
No clouds whatsoever. The sun is warm, which is a very, very good thing. And I really enjoyed listening to our opening song, That We Might Have Life. Right. And it's been a week filled with life and activities around life. Father Cusick last week celebrated the 40th anniversary of his being ordained a priest for the Archdiocese. Congratulations, Father Cusick.
Thanks, Kate.
Wow, very cool. Have you been celebrating all week?
Not a lot, but I couldn't help but make the reflection that when I was much younger, somebody being ordained 40 years was an old guy.
And that never happened to
something's
you.
Something's changed. I'm still a young guy here.
Yeah.
You know, with 40 years in. But
absolutely,
it was a wonderful opportunity to gather with classmates. And that's where today we're going to do something very special. The month of May, there's a lot of different special celebrations that go on. A lot of them are driven by our faith.
Yes.
There's graduations from our schools. First communions.
Yep.
This is wedding season in an awful lot of Catholic churches. But interestingly, it's also anniversary season because many, not all, but many of the ordinations to the priesthood in the Archdiocese of Chicago have taken place in the month of May, as they will again this year on May 23rd. So for those of you who are driving around or at home or might have uploaded this from our website, www.yamchicago.org, we're going to call four of my classmates. Would that be fair?
That'd be fun.
And just reflect on 40 years since today, on the 13th of May, 1970, we all knelt as one in the main chapel at St. Mary of the Lake Seminary, and I remember walking down that aisle, and it's almost, you really feel like it was a Pentecostal moment. We were really being sent forth, ordained by Cardinal Cody, and being sent forth to minister as priest in the church in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So we're lucky today. I'm lucky because four of my classmates, all we had to do was call or email, and everyone said, absolutely, we'll be with you. So we're going to have Father Tom Fransman, who presently is assigned to Mundelein Seminary, Father Tom Nangle, who's the chaplain to the Chicago Police Department, Father Bill Veith, who for the past 30 years has been the chaplain at Election Brothers healthcare facility out in the suburbs, and Father Ron Mass, who's currently the pastor of Incarnation in Palos. So we're just going to have a little memory session, a little looking forward session. Is that fair?
That sounds like fun. And I'm excited because, you know, myself included, so many people don't have an understanding of what priests do. You know,
right.
We see our parish priests on Sunday. We see our parish priests at Mass and at special celebrations like the First Holy Communions and the weddings and things like that. But we rarely get to, you know, have those conversations behind the scenes,
sure,
and see what priests do all day and, you know, what things occupy different people's time. And the priests that you've mentioned are all in very diverse positions,
exactly,
making a wonderful difference by sharing their gifts.
Right, and each one is highly talented and has got a what I would call a great track record as a priest for 40 years in 1 week. in the Archdiocese. So that's what we're going to do, folks. And I think you're going to find it somewhat fascinating and helpful. And I think we're going to try to delve into a little bit, you know, what are some of the things that we do and some of the things that we wonder about and some of the achievements, some of the things that sort of break our hearts sometimes because you're dealing with people in some very difficult human situations.
Now, Father Cusick, why don't we start with you? Oops. I don't often get to put you on the hot seat here.
Oh, no, usually I can
yeah,
divert
he turns
that.
The tables. Yeah, he's pretty good. But tell us about your priesthood, some of the things you've done and some of your joys in being a priest over the last 40 years.
Well, when we were ordained, I was assigned as an associate pastor to Mary's Seat of Wisdom in Park Ridge. And I had never been on the north side. Well, I was as a deacon at St. Nicholas in Evanston, but I'm really a kid from the south side of Chicago. And it
right,
was like,
you used to be a White Sox fan.
I know,
remember.
I'm a convert.
Yeah, he's a convert now.
I'm a convert, but that's okay.
Okay.
But in many ways, it was really foreign territory in a variety of ways. And, of course, like anybody, I was a tad on the nervous side. And I wound up as an associate pastor in this large suburban parish with a big school and filled with vitality. I had a wonderful, wonderful pastor, Father Bill Clark, who the parish affectionately called Uncle Bill. He was just one of the most kind and loving people, and underneath the veneer of his kindness was a tremendous wisdom, and he really taught me wonderful ways and how to be an effective parish priest. Mm. From there, in 1977, I was invited to the faculty of our college seminary, Niles College in those days, St. Joseph's College Seminary presently. I was a residence hall director for young men who were entering the seminary in their freshman year. I taught theology for a while. But I think the biggest joy in those years is I was director of recruitment and admissions. Mm-hmm. And along with Father Wall in the beginning, we roamed around the Archdiocese and talked to young men, juniors and seniors in high school, a lot of times in high schools, about considering making a difference with their life. Giving part of it, if not all of it, to the Lord and calling people to the possibility of being Catholic priests. So I enjoyed that. And concurrent with that, the Archdiocese, through Father Ray Sullivan, may he rest in peace, asked if I would begin to coordinate what was called a ministry to young adults. And in all honesty, in 1977, I said, what's that? And he said, well, it's really an age group that begins after their college years. And so I said in all honesty of curiosity, well, why would we want to do that? And you got to remember, folks, this was 1977. And he said, well, we're beginning to sense that this large, large generation is probably not as connected to the church maybe as their generations of that same age were not too long ago. And wow, was he prophetic on that.
Yes.
And so along with my work at the seminary, I began this thing called Young Adult Ministry in the Archdiocese. And when it came time to leave after 8 years at Niles, I asked Cardinal Bernardine, may he rest in peace, if I could take Young Adult Ministry to the next level and make it a full-time position to really outreach those in their 30s and 20s, both married and single. And we went back and forth, both verbally, one-on-one, and in writing about different issues and concerns about that. And he had an interesting final response, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. He said, John, we're not doing enough for a lot of our younger people in the Archdiocese, and we need to do more, and would you lead that? So it was his commitment was always to God's people, not to giving a priest a job. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a wisdom. And that really helped, I think, shape and carve, Kate, part of my own priesthood. You know, our commitment is to God's people. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we best serve? And I think leadership in the church is best done when we serve the needs of the people of God who we're called to lead.
And in your role as priest and as director of the Diocesan Office of Young Adult Ministry, you are privileged to be part of the sacramental moments of young adult lives, which makes such a difference. So many people come looking for the sacraments, looking for a sense of God's healing in their lives, just really needing to connect to the church in the deeper way that only a priest can lead.
So in many ways, I've always said, and I believe it in the fiber of my soul, that I'm a pastor, you know, not in the sense that Father Mass is a pastor of incarnation when we talk to him, but a pastor to an age group of people that somewhat might be a little too loosely connected at times to our church.
Okay.
So that's my journey.
Thank you. That was wonderful. So when we come back, we will hear from other priests of our diocese doing some amazing things. Thank you for listening, and we will be right back.
Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Be with us, O Lord, we pray.
In your spirit, send us all.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. May is Volunteer Month, and with 13 events planned, there's something for everyone. We recorded 589 volunteer hours in May of 2009, and we're working to beat that record this year. We need your help. Whether you're interested in painting a Catholic charity site, reading to children, packaging food for the homeless, serving dinner to veterans, attending a faith committee meeting, or a social fundraiser, the Junior Board has an opportunity for you in May. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
We are back with more of The Light Show right here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is Dr. Kate DeVries along with Father John Cusick, and we are talking about ministry and priesthood and serving God's people.
And focusing on the mighty class of 1970, celebrating 40 years of priesthood.
Yes.
And I believe we have on the line, Kate, one of my classmates who has had an amazing, amazing 40-year journey of diversity of assignments. Father Tom Fransman, good morning.
Good morning,
Father Fransman.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you.
And I know you're all right. I saw you last week.
That's right. And first of all, I want to thank Father Fransman. The initial email inviting us all to gather on our 40th anniversary on the 13th of May came from him. And Tom, it was a wonderful celebration last week to see so many of our fellows.
That's true. It really was. And more than several, have emailed me and said that it's great the bonds that began in our high school seminary days at Quigley and so on, and how we've, although not that frequently, we've somehow managed to keep them up, and they really enjoy seeing each other again.
It really is a thrill.
Yeah.
And as someone mentioned, I think we had like 31 or 33 men ordained priests, and we have 75 lawyers in the class.
I think so, yeah.
So we were a great great Catholic pre-law program.
I once said I think we only had three guys with honest jobs that I knew of. One was an electrician and a carpenter. Somebody else. I always forget about that.
I know, but it was wonderful. Tom, people might not be aware that one of the many assignments you've had in our diocese is that you were rector at Quigley.
Right.
And where we all went to high school. And this show is being broadcast from our studio in Quigley.
Where the gym used to be.
It's between the gym and the locker room. That's how I remember it. If someone were to say to me, now, where is this radio studio? I'd say, well, it's down by the guy's locker room. So, Tom, talk a little bit. Would you reflect back on your years as rector? Is there something that sticks out in your mind, young guys coming through the doors of 103 East Chestnut, as we all did for our class back in 1958, sort of with a dream in their head? How did you sense that in the years that you were here with high school guys and the whole idea of priesthood lurking somewhere within them?
I think the same kind of a dream was there. I think, again, as I talked to so many of them over those years being there, it was, again, coming from some contact with the priest who their family was close to or they were close to in their parish, who they really admired or looked up to and said, you know, that priest does good work. And I would like to kind of emulate that in my life, and I think maybe I can. And, of course, along the way, we all found out that it was pretty challenging, both for the commitments involved, but the studies involved, the preparation, the language. I was never a linguist, except in English, but, you know, it was tough for me to get that Latin and some of that Greek we had to study.
Yeah.
But, and some found that that end of it was too difficult. I think one big difference I noticed when I was there was that support that we had, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, from the religious women in the parish, the sisters who are in most of our parishes in those days, again, that wasn't as prevalent or existent anymore because of the numbers of sisters who were no longer active in that ministry and teaching. And I think that was a factor that made it a little more difficult for some. I think there were always sisters in parishes who said, you know, Tom Fransman, you ought to be a priest, you know, or whatever, and spotted us. They probably said it to you.
Oh, Tom, there's no doubt about it. I think there was even much more of a Catholic cultural support for somebody who was considering religious life in any form.
Exactly.
Whether it be, you know, kids we went to grade school with who were considering being religious sisters, or I had five guys in my class from Little Flower on the south side, you know, come and join us at Quigley. I found that, too, when I was recruiting at Niles for the 8 years I was there, that it was really, really hard because in many ways the pressure had flipped the other way.
Right.
You want to do that? And it was hard to find some sustaining system for guys who were very, very seriously considering, maybe I'd like to be a Catholic priest. So I think maybe the lesson is that if anybody's listening to us and you know of anybody who's considering ministry in a church on any level, to really support that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because today there are more options. I've heard young guys say to me, I want to be a youth minister, or, you know, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. And I would say support any one of those things.
Sure, absolutely. They're all wonderful vocations. And yet we do need the vocations of priesthood and religious life and brotherhood and all those other things as well. I mean, the church relies on those gifts of people's lives to sustain.
Now, Tom, up until a couple years ago, you were my boss when you were the department director here and in part of Cardinal George's cabinet, and he asked if you would go out to Mundelein, which is our major seminary.
Right. I was there was an interim thing. I was at Shield Center.
You were at Shield Center. I forgot all about that. That's right. You were there almost 2 years at the Catholic Student Center.
And I absolutely loved it. I just thought, you know, and I always thought, boy, I'd really be a dummy going up there to Northwestern with all these brainy kids, and they are, and they say they actually call themselves geeks, you know, because they are interested so much in their studies. Yeah. We're the geeks up here at Northwestern, but they're not. They're just wonderful, wonderful young people.
Well, Tom,
so many of them come to Shield Center.
There. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
What is it about their faith that you found fascinating in college people today at such a big Big Ten university?
Well, you know, there's a very strong faith. We would. There are about, I think it's 10,000 students there, and roughly 10. But anyway, it's about 21% Catholic as far as the university can figure out, because they kind of do their numbers through a survey they take that's optional. You know, they don't have to fill it in, but a lot of kids do fill in their faith. And the next biggest group would be the Jewish kids that are there. But we were finding that we had somewhere between 800 and 900 students at Shield on a weekend going to Mass there.
Boy, that's an awfully high percentage.
It's a very good percentage.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's better than we're doing in a lot of parishes. So I was very encouraged by that. And you know, the liturgy there is just alive, and people pray together very well. The thing that was hardest for me, because, as you know, being ordained 40 years, we're getting old.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And there's, besides the 9:30 and the 11 a.m. masses, there's a 5 in the evening and a 9 p.m.
Oh, that's getting late.
That was tough for me.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting through the WGN 9 o'clock news. You know, so I would I'd be passing out before the Our Father.
My mother watches that from Atlanta. She lives with my sister's in Atlanta, and of course we're Chicagoans, died in a wolf.
Right.
But she watches that 9 o'clock news, and of course it's already 10 o'clock down there.
That's
I
right.
I don't know how she makes yeah. it. She's 97. God
well,
love her.
Yeah, and yeah, that, and part of what we have in common is there was a caregiver that both of our moms had.
Oh, absolutely.
And I remember those kind of things. Tom, we're going to need to move on here, but I want to, first of all, congratulate you and congratulate our whole class on the contribution. If I can be so selfish to say, we continue to try to make in our local church and hope that people will walk in our footsteps.
Well, I do too. And if I can grab a few more seconds, I would just
sure.
say, let the Spirit work in your life. I did an article on that for the Upturn time about how we've assignments have gone, and I've never asked for anything in particular, and the stuff I've been asked to do has been very challenging, and I think it's the work of the Spirit, so we got to turn it over to the Lord a little more and let that happen.
And I think there could be no more prophetic words than this, the Wednesday before Pentecost, where you know, they're all sent out to do the work of the Lord, and
absolutely.
that's what we signed up for.
Absolutely.
40
pray,
more.
Pray for the guys being ordained this.
That's
this
right, year. On the 23rd of May this year, the class of 2010. 40 years after the mighty class of 1970.
Absolutely.
Keep doing great things, Tom.
Thanks, Brother
okay.
Fransman.
Kate, do well, too.
Take
yeah,
care.
Yeah, Kate's the best.
See you later.
Thank
okay.
you. And we will be right back.
Lord Jesus, you reign in glory.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
The Catholic New World brought you news on the cause for canonization of Father Augustus Tolton, and we'll continue to follow that story.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and members of the class of 1970, the priest graduation class, the class ordained in 1970, and we are delighted to have you with us this morning.
And Kate, we have a second of our four classmates on the line, and I think he has one of the most fascinating jobs, and I have a sneaking suspicion what you mentioned earlier, when sometimes people don't know what we do mm-hmm. all day because we have such a low visibility. Mm-hmm. They see us on Sunday, and they may see us in some pretty big public situations, graduations, weddings, baptisms of their children, on and on. But that takes up, when you think about it, a very minimal amount of priest time. And the other stuff, is a lot of it is below the radar. So join me in welcoming in Father Tom Nangle. Father
good
Nangle,
morning,
good morning.
Father Nangle.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Jen.
How are you?
better than I deserve.
How about that?
Congratulations, Father, on your anniversary.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate that.
Yay.
It was a wonderful day. I don't know where the time went. I must be having more fun than I realized.
I know. As I said earlier, Tom, it just seemed that, you know, when we were kids and somebody was ordained 40 years, there were a bunch of old guys.
But we are.
Well, I don't know. I think age is relative. But Father Nangle is the chaplain to the Chicago Police Department, and I think if we were going to do fancy titles, it would also be the FBI as well, for Federal Bureau of Investigation. And Tom, you've been at that a long time, am I correct?
Yeah, 30 years full-time, and if you count the first 10 years when I was doing it
kind of part-time,
so it'd be all 40.
Yeah, it really has been your personal commitment to, you know, to those who are in uniform, who, as I always, you know, when I pray for them, who defend us from evil. And Tom, what are some of the things as a Catholic priest chaplain that you do that I'm sure many people don't see? I mean, I mean, I know as well that you're below the radar, and you have to be because of the nature of your ministry and of your care. What are some of the things that occupy the time, the priesthood of a Chicago police chaplain?
Most of it is being with people in a tough spot in life, or going through a storm, or in a real critical moment.
Yeah.
For example, a shooting of the police or by the police.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lucky guy. I was doing breakfast dishes one morning. I looked out the window and I said out loud to God, I said, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. After 40 years, I have people to love, and my work is meaningful to my soul.
Yeah.
And so when I was in parish work, I was bored to death. I happened to be in a parish that had, you know, it was right after Vatican II, and we had set up, you know, like 100 committees, and they met 5 times a night, and I was bored to death.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, I wanted to be a priest since first grade, and I think maybe I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And then I got involved with the police, and I felt like a, you know, like a black duck in a black duck pond is a police phrase, and I felt like I'd found my niche in life. But being with people in crisis is something that I've had a lot of training in, and that makes up the bulk of my work.
Wow.
Especially, you know, and you said, John, we fly under the radar, but a couple of months ago, well, about 6 weeks ago, Father Larry McBrady and I went out. I said, come on, I want to show you my people. And we got in my car, and we hit the west side, the 11th and 15th districts, which are hopping, especially on a hot night.
Oh, sure.
And we rode around for about 4.5 hours, and so many of the officers, you know, we take in calls here and there, and some of them were pretty hot calls, people shot and men with guns. And as we were driving home, I dropped Larry off, and as I was driving home, I thought to myself, you know, this is really, in all these years, this is really the first time a priest has ever got a glimpse into what I do. And really, he didn't see much of what I do. He just saw me with my people.
Yes.
And but to go back to your question, that's most of our stuff. Every time, it seems like every day the phone rings with problems. You know, I'm seldom invited to meetings or graduations or banquets. Thank God I can't stand going to those things.
Sure.
Send an inflatable priest out to those things. But it's usually people, a lot of times the police chaplains are the person of first resort when a police officer needs some help. They're not sure where to begin, so they start with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we make some good referrals.
Yeah. And Tom, if I'm not mistaken, you do a lot of work with police families as well, don't you? So it's not just the guys on the job.
First, you might be thinking, John, on the Gold Star families, which...
No, I mean, just, you know, you got to get calls from police families and saying, I'm struggling here, struggling there. I mean, you're going to get referrals when the uniform is off as well, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I think you at the front end of this conversation, you talked about evil. And
yeah.
I, I'm told this is a purely Catholic mindset, and I never was aware of this till 6 months ago, but I really do believe in good and evil. There are,
yeah.
I don't believe in the devil as a creature, but I believe in the human capacity to do incredible evil, and that's what police officers fight and roll in and get touched by every tour of duty.
Right.
And naturally, it has to reshape the reshape their soul and their outlook on life. So they bring that home to the family, and sometimes we'll get a call from a spouse or a significant other, and they just don't know where to go with the pain that the copper brings home.
Yeah, yeah, it can be hard. Tom, I remember a particular phone call that I received from you, and when I thought about what you shared with me, I had to make a decision on what I was going to do. But let me first of all give you that phone call. There was I was invited to do a funeral of a former very high-ranking Chicago policeman. Not high-ranking, maybe in terms of the title he had when he left. But when you called me, you said, "John, I want to let you know that this is one of the most revered men among the older guys." And he had quite a reputation, and it was a reputation for better or for worse. And I really appreciated that call, because it what it did for me is, I mean, obviously I knew his family, and I knew him more as a retired person than I ever did, obviously, on the job, or the people who knew him on the job. So I remember sitting back saying, what am I going to do? How do you preach this? And believe it or not, and this is something I've never had the chance to tell you, so I'll tell you now. Something in my head clicked to something you had said almost indirectly when you were invited to come to speak to the seminarians at Niles College when I was on the faculty. And what you said that day stuck in my head, and this is what I used at this funeral, that there's, in many ways, there's two worlds. And one of the worlds is people put on a uniform of police, and they enter into oftentimes an evil world and hang on to the possibility and of good. We need to hold on to good in an evil world. And then I said, you know, for many of us, I live in a good world, Tom, and I have to struggle with the problem of evil. And I thought, the police, it's just the opposite. It's not a problem, it's a reality. And, you know, and you and they are trying to say there is still good in the midst of this horrifying darkness at times. So this is my chance to thank you for a homily idea, number one. And number two, for the amazing way, I mean, you're a legend. You're probably not comfortable with that. I know you a little bit. You're a legend in Chicago among the people who put on that blue uniform. And so you must continue to be assigned to them of what can be, and that's an amazing ministry for 40 years.
Well, thank you. You know it's funny. We've got five police department chaplains. Three of them are police officers, which ministers, which is a great hybrid. And Rabbi Wolf, who's kind of my partner. I don't mean that in the domestic partner sense, but in the police sense. His wife would be very angry at me. But one of the things that we all try to do is just keep reminding these police officers that when they go out there, when they stand roll call, get their car keys, check out the radio, and then go out in the parking lot to try to find their squad car, they're doing God's work.
Yep.
And when you work, they really go out there and spend 8 hours working for peace and justice and order.
Yeah.
Peace where there's violence, justice where there's unfairness, and order where there's chaos. And when you work for peace and justice and order, that's godly work.
It is.
And I love telling them that at roll calls, because, you know, you can tell, I mean, coppers get burned out just like anybody.
Oh, like priests and anybody else.
Like anybody who's got a responsibility for other people.
Sure.
They get burned out. And some of them sit there with their arms crossed when I say that, and they look at me like I don't know up from down.
Yeah.
And others are just so hungry to have their soul kind of tickled and warmed, and to be reminded that this damn job really is worth doing.
Yeah.
Everybody dumps on them. Everybody.
Right.
The media doesn't get it.
Right.
Their own department, is a source of great stress for them. As anybody who works for a big institution, the stress comes usually from the institution and not from the work. But the politicians dump on them, the community groups dump on them, and so they take such very good care of each other.
Right.
And I love that.
Right. And yet they go to work every day against all the odds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Larry McBrady and I were out a couple of Sundays ago in a hot night, I used to love going out on the street, but I'm 66. I'm too old for it, and I really can't keep up with the street. But I can keep up with the office stuff and the hospital stuff, but not the street. But I was so, what's the word I'm looking for, pleased.
Yeah.
Just to see these coppers out there, and they're still chasing people. And when the call comes in, man with a gun, man shot, everybody else runs the other way. They run right toward it.
Right. Right.
They are, and you know what? You didn't ask the question, but if somebody said, what is the greatest ache in your heart regarding your chaplaincy? I would say it's my people are so unappreciated and so misunderstood, and people are so anxious and eager and willing to ascribe the most negative motives to everything they do.
Right. And that makes
I don't know, frankly, I don't. And you know what else? I was talking to a policewoman one day about priests and pedophilia and how discouraged some guys are and how disgusting the whole thing is and how the hierarchies handle it is really upsetting. And she said, well, congratulations. Now you know how we feel like all the time.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fail to look at it that way, that they're under the microscope constantly. And Tom, one of the things that I don't know where it's maybe it's come out of my own faith and belief. There was a Chicago policeman who we lived next door when I was growing up, and anytime I, you know, been living downtown all these years, you see guys in the corner, you see guys, and I always go up to them and say, please be safe out there. And to the man or to the woman, they always say, thank you for saying that.
Oh yeah.
You know, I really I want them to be safe, and I want everyone to be safe. But I want to also support them in the best way I can. You know, I don't know what they do, but I can pray for their safety.
You know what else you can do, too? Coppers love this. You know, if you see a police officer somewhere, don't ever bother them when they're sitting in a restaurant eating, by the way. They hate that.
Right.
I don't blame them.
They want their downtime as you and I want our downtime.
They want their downtime. In fact, they always sit in the corner booth, and they should put a Chinese screen around them so nobody can see them. But if you see a police officer somewhere and the timing is right, just walk up and say thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Exactly.
I'll pray for your well-being.
Right. And let's make sure we do it.
Oh, yeah.
To affirm them and pray for them in our prayer.
Yeah.
Tom, we have to move on. But thank you for just sitting there and reflecting today on 30 years full-time and 40 years of committing your priesthood to women and men who defend us from evil, and God knows we need them, and we really have to support them.
Well, John and Kate, thank you, and good. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Thank you.
Thanks,
thanks,
Tom.
Father.
Have a good one.
Day.
Thanks Take for care. Your time. Be blessed in all you do.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be back, folks. Father Tom Nangle, chaplain, Chicago Police Department. Before that, Father Tom Franzman, also of the class of 1970, who has done remarkable things, and part of it was the rector of a seminary and the department director for the Cardinal. And we're going to move on to two more of my fascinating classmates after we take a short break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Poverty in America is the topic of discussion as Catholic Charities USA holds a thought-provoking conference here in Chicago. You know him as the voice of the national anthem. You may get to know him as Damien, the saint. A visit with Wayne Messmer is coming up.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese. You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Show, excuse me, with Dr. Kate DeVries, Father John Cusick, and members of the Class of Priests of 1970. What an interesting conversation so far, Father Cusick.
It's amazing.
Wow.
You know, and these are guys I've known for 52 years.
Wow.
We were 13 years old walking into a high school seminary together, and here we are, God, 52 years later, reflecting on 40 years of being priests in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
So your class, I mean, you guys all made the decision by 13 that this is something to pursue, not necessarily to finish, but something to pursue.
It was something to pursue. I mean, you could hear Father Nangle say, you know, he almost was a throwaway line. This is something I want to do since I was in first grade.
Unbelievable.
Well, but,
I didn't know what I wanted to. Well, I did know I wanted to teach. That's
well,
not true. So
well,
I
see,
think you have
you
a hint of it.
And that was your, and still is, and you are a great teacher.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I think, Kate, we all have dreams,
yeah.
You know. But
yeah.
The difficulty today is let's make sure we give people the freedom to pursue their dreams.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
we want, you know. And what I wanted when I was leaving eighth grade about being a Catholic priest is certainly far different than what I believed it to be when I walked up the aisle on the 13th of May, 1970, or how I've lived it in the 40 years, and when I was gathered around the altar at Quigley yesterday on our 40th anniversary, looking at my classmates. It's all so different.
Yeah.
It's real. It's very, very real. But kids have kids' dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Adults have adult dreams.
Yeah.
You know, my dream is, how can my life as priest continue to create God's world.
Mm.
That's important to me.
Yes.
And that was the dream in my head. So, yeah, it's been in our heads a long time, you know. So that's a good thing. So I appreciate
Very nice,
that.
Yes. And now we have another wonderful guest. Father
oh,
King.
My good. My
him?
Classmate from St. Nicholas of Tallentine Parish, Father Bill Veith.
Right.
There we go. I remember. Let's see. I remember Bill Veith from St. Nicholas of Tallentine and another classmate who left us at college, Roger Dorr.
Right, exactly.
See,
wow.
Bill.
Good
Bill,
morning, Father Veith.
Good morning, Father Veith. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Bill, we're doing well, and it was so good to see you and have the privilege of celebrating with you last week after all these years.
It certainly was, John. It was great being with you, and interesting, you're mentioning dreams. In fact, I thought of that reflection here at the Alexian Brother Medical Center that I felt like walking into the field of dreams.
Wow.
Cornfield dot first thing. You know, I've been out here for 30 years. So.
Yeah, see, that's what that Bill is. We want to let people know that. For the last 30 years of the 40 years of your priesthood, you have been chaplain at Alexian Brothers out, and I would call it Schomburg Hoffman Estate, somewhere out that way.
Right, Elk Grove Village.
Elk Grove Village, all right. To me, it's all the same thing. You get that far out, you know, it's all, you know, and first of all, let me share a memory, Bill. It's only 2 days old, and I can't help but think when I was in the middle of it that this was, thank God, a rare moment for me, but I'm thinking, sadly, it's a common experience for you. about 8 o'clock on Monday night, I was having dinner with a couple whose wedding I presided at last year, and we were sitting up around Lincoln and Irving at their house, at their apartment, and the phone rang, and I was asked to head to Rush Hospital. There was a preemie who had a brain bleed and was not going to make it. And so, of course, I excused myself and got in the car, went down to Rush, and found my way to where the parents were. And it was a couple married less than 2 years, first child. Though it was preemie, the delivery was fine. The baby was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, things began to go south. And I left after baptizing the child and hugging moms and dads and crying, thinking how painful, and thank God I don't have to do this all the time. And yet, knowing that I was going to interview today my classmate, Father Bill Veith, how do you, Bill, does that leave its impact on you even after all these years, those kind of very tough human moments?
They are very, very painful, and just your description of it, John, just you realize the pain that's there in the sense of your compassion for them. And I find that here, too, especially with the unexpected, you know, the young, just the real pain involved in that. It really, I guess it fits in with the Alexian values, that sense of compassion that kind of drains yourself, too. I guess the good part is I feel that somehow through my presence or the presence of our spiritual care team, that somehow, you know, we create an atmosphere for the presence of the Spirit.
Bill, let me ask you this. What do you think it means in these difficult human situations for a Catholic to know that just who has walked into their room now is a Catholic priest? What do you think triggers inside of them when Father Veith walks in?
I think sometimes, John, an overwhelming thing is a sense of faith. And this is, I've reflected upon this, as you've mentioned, for 40 years. I've seen the faith of other people, it's like it's resurrected almost.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like bringing faith out of them.
Right,
you know,
right.
A pastor or one of our spiritual persons walks into the room, it gives you an environment.
Exactly.
Certainly in the medical center, it becomes very difficult, challenging, you know. I thought of, like, last night I was listening to the Cubs and then the Blackhawks. So some things are slow down, wait.
Right.
And then the Blackhawks, hurry, and
yeah.
Need help, you know. And
yeah.
Could you do something? But then you realize the faith of the people is kind of awesome. It really overwhelms me. I feel in that way.
Yeah. I think, Bill, it's really, you know, funny we... In those situations, we really understand that we are a minister of God's grace, that
yeah,
we're sort of a conduit. I find sometimes, and I'm sure, I mean, you're in these situations on a, you know, basically a daily and weekly basis, that we walk in and all of a sudden there's something more than just the physical problem that is confronting everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah.
I'm amazed, though, that they can, you know, how do people do this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Terrible losses. They start telling their stories of life.
Right.
They realize it's not just this loss of why they're at the medical center, but then
right.
There's another loss, another one.
Right.
And it's amazing the sense of faith they have.
Yeah.
And I guess that's part of, I feel, the ministry is that we can create an atmosphere for others to share their faith.
Exactly. And to reach beyond the pain of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I noticed the other night, just trying to, you know, as we're baptizing this little kid and to trying to put it in a larger context,
right,
you know, of a God who literally breathes life into us,
mm-hmm.
And asking a mom and dad to take their thumb and make the sign of the cross on his little tiny forehead, and grandma and grandpa, the tears rolling down their eyes, and here we are. For lack of a better word, we're taking our faith and just we're giving it to this little kid, saying, "Here, we believe in you, because God believes in us."
Mm-hmm. And then you realize what a sacred moment that becomes, too. I guess that becomes overwhelming for me, too.
Yeah, it is.
The sacredness of this moment right now.
And you know that in the midst of the darkest time of life, I'm utterly convinced God is present.
Right.
Where everyone else thinks it's empty and void, we say it's full enrich.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bill, we got to move on, but I want to thank you for one of the more difficult apostolates that our class has ever taken on. I know all of us on occasion visit the sick, go to hospitals, but to live in that environment daily for 30 years, you are an amazing, amazing man, great priest, and a blessing to so many people.
Well, thanks so much to both of you, and God bless you and your ministry.
Okay,
thanks, Father,
keep it up, Bill. Keep doing great things.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities, including a 19th century steam engine and a European carousel. Enjoy an elegant dinner and participate in an auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer at the 21st Annual Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser on Saturday, May 22nd. Held at the San Filippo Estate in Barrington Hills, the event will benefit Catholic Charities Northwest Regional Services and its New Hope Apartments program. Tickets are $160. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries and our wonderful producer, Brian. Brian Brock is with us doing some fabulous things behind the scenes. We appreciate Brian every week, every time we gather, actually. So, Father Cusick, we are down to our last member of the class that we get to talk to this morning.
That's right. And yes. Father Ron Mass is the pastor of Incarnation in Palos. And Ron and his brother and sister were raised, if I'm not mistaken, Ronald, by your parents in St. Lambert's Parish in Skokie. Did I get the right place?
Good.
There you go. See, I have a see, that's the trouble. After 40 years, we have great long-term memory, but short-term is trashed.
Good morning, Father Mass. How are you?
Good morning.
Ron, good morning. And your name was also on as one of the guys most responsible for making sure that our celebration went well last week on our 40th anniversary. And let me add my thanks. I think I shot it to you in an email, but emails have become so impersonal these days. But it was just good to see so many guys, both the ordained and many guys with whom we had such fond memories in some of those very formative years in our life. So that was a good experience for me.
It was. It was for me as well, and it was a pleasure to be able to help coordinate the thing. I suppose the best part about it was the affirmation that I experienced, and I presume you too, from the classmates, the non-ordained.
Oh, absolutely.
And in talking to them and their questions about what's going on in my parish, and I just got all sort of cranked up and enthusiastic talking about my parish. And
exactly.
They commented on that, and I realized I still have some of the same spunk I had 40 years ago.
What was that spunk all about, Ron, when you were ordained with the rest of us on the 13th of May? And as I mentioned earlier, in many ways I remember walking down the aisle of the major seminary, out through those double doors, and it was sort of, in many ways, a Pentecostal experience. You know, the Spirit, we were being sent out to this church in Chicago as priest. What was the fire in your belly and the dream in your head?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about that, reflecting on that,
yeah,
with this anniversary celebration and everything. And in my life, even from my earliest childhood, I have to admit this, I always felt blessed by God. Not lucky, not like I won the lottery or, you know, I was special or anything like that, but just that God loved me, he gave me wonderful parents who cared for me, a home, and that somehow I was compelled to share that with others. And as we went through the seminary and matured and grew, I think it became a desire to, a compelling desire to make a better world.
Yeah.
I suppose in church terms we talk about building up the kingdom of God. And it breaks down to a basic love for your people, and I still have that, and I still have that sense of being blessed by God.
You know, and I think if we didn't have it, there's no way we could keep going.
No, that's where the root of it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's not so much, I really think that priesthood belongs to the church, and the church designates people to witness to that, as, you know,
right,
as ordained priests, but I think it's something that God puts in you early on, and it's not that the church makes you a priest, it's like it's there, you know, and the church recognizes it.
Ron, what would you say gives you the most joy?
Praying with my people.
Wow.
If I didn't have that, I don't know where I'd be. I know it sounds like a long time ago for a lot of people, but in 89 I was on sabbatical for 3 months in Israel. And the thing I missed most was my people. I couldn't wait to get back to celebrate the Eucharist, to preach, to share the things that I was learning with them. And but every day, I mean, we had a community and all that sort of stuff there, but I missed my people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we really are part of a fabric. I mean, we're sewn into the people we're privileged to lead, but we lead them through our serving them.
Yes.
It's a strange thing of people. I don't think people necessarily always understand that. You know, they see us in roles. You know, we got titles, pastor, agency director, and we've got power and authority. But I don't think they realize that, you know, our joy is in taking our life in Jesus' name and giving it away.
Yes, and being with them. My people know pretty much, because I push this strongly with my pastoral council, that I don't know how to do this without them.
Right. There you go. Okay.
It's a joint effort, and that's all it ever will be.
You know, this may be tooting our own horn, but this might be an opportunity to share something with the people who are listening to our show today, and who might have downloaded this from our website. And I'm going to ask people if they would do what Father Nangle said: if you see police, thank them. I'm going to say the same thing to people towards their own priests in their parishes. I think these are days, Ron, when we, you know, that everybody needs to be supported.
Oh.
You know?
You know, I had a big parish celebration Sunday, and that was one of the most affirming experiences of my life.
There you go.
And they know, I tell them flat out, I need to thank you, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, it's something in our society today that is just going by the boards. We've become this polarized world and suspicious church and every crazy thing. And I think fundamentally we've got to be an affirming support to God's people, and hope that they would, you know, we're not, I mean, as priests, boy, I'll tell you, as you know as far as good as I do, we're under the microscope, we're watched constantly, and yet we're trying to give it our best shot. And sometimes we, you know, like anyone else, we need a little affirmation.
Yes. You know, I would agree. The church, and maybe even certainly the priesthood, may be suffering hard times on a national and a media level and all that sort of stuff. But in the parish, where the church lives,
right?
You know, it's still for me a very positive
experience. Oh, likewise for me. It's the most amazingly supportive environment in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
You can talk about, you know, that we've been headlines in every paper around the world, but the cheerleaders who affirm our ministry are those people to whom we say the Lord be with you on a regular basis.
You know, 40 years later, when it's all different than anything we would have imagined for, I still wouldn't trade my life with anybody for anything in the world.
Yeah, there you go. You know, we're lucky guys.
We are. We're blessed.
After 52 years since we started at Quigley and 40 years since we walked up that chapel aisle, we're still at it.
And you were the baby of us.
I was. I'm still the youngest guy in the class, which means I got to work longer than you guys. Hey, Ron, we need to go, so I want to say thank you ever so much, and continue. Do great things.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thanks,
you too.
Father Mayo.
Okay, God bless. Folks, that about does it today, and it's not our usual routine, but We're the Office of Young Adult Ministry. Kate, and how can people reach us before we go off the air?
YAMChicago.org.
YAMChicago.org. And we'll see you next month.